or just the truth.
Join Tim and Christina Madden, co-founders of Executive Career Upgrades, on their podcast, The Executive Career Upgrades Podcast. As an executive in today's highly competitive job market, it can be tough to succeed. However, with Tim's nationally recognized career advice and Christina's mindset expertise, you can reach your full potential. Tune in to upgrade your career and get ahead of the competition.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Executive Career Upgrades Podcast with your hosts, Tim and Christina Madden. We have a great episode for you today, streaming live this Wednesday. Yes, I need to move it closer.
A little closer.
Wednesday, April 24th. Talking about leadership dilemmas.
Tim's birthday was this month, by the way.
It was, man.
Can I tell him how old you are?
Sure, go ahead.
He's 41. You might think he's 31. So, he might have you tricked, but he's 41.
Hey, if you're tuning in live right now on LinkedIn, on YouTube, right? I know they not watching on the Facebook group because you know what happened? Facebook said you can't do that no more. They just 2 days ago, they said, now we have to do this huge, big workaround, Facebook, so that we can provide this for the people that stream live in the Executive Career Network.
Wow. So, okay. So nobody's listening in the group right now.
We posted saying, hey, hopefully they saw the message in the group and now they're watching on LinkedIn.
Okay. So if you do hear this in some sort of a replay form or on Spotify, make sure you go over and follow. Is it our personal LinkedIn's or the Executive Career Upgrades LinkedIn?
It's on my LinkedIn.
Okay, yeah. So go to Tim's LinkedIn, click follow, and then you can see the live stream every week. We got hundreds of viewers over there every week on LinkedIn. So, to our LinkedIn audience, thank you for watching every week and making the podcast what it is. It's absolutely amazing.
And what's crazy is there's thousands of people that tune in from like around the world. I still don't think you, I even realize that.
Yeah, it's wild when you really, look at the data of the podcast. It's really humbling. It's humbling. It's like, whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome. But then I was listening to Joe Rogan's podcast yesterday, episode 2111 with Cat Williams, and it was a 3-hour podcast. I was like, I need to get my podcast game up, if I want to be like Joe Rogan.
Hey, today we're talking about leadership, but as always, if you need help in your career, go on over to execupgrades.com/podcast, right? So many people out there looking for a new role, but don't know where to start. One of the themes I've been talking about recently is there's so many people out there that don't even know what they're looking for. And how do you find something when you don't even really know what you're looking for?
No clarity.
Yeah.
Yeah. People are really surprised that that's the first step over here.
Yeah, but I just need a job in. Yeah, well, I just need a marketing job, though, Christina.
Yeah, I was just talking to our sales team about this, and I was talking to somebody the other day. There, I'm not going to say the company. Probably the biggest tech company. You might have all their products. I was talking to a woman who works there. She makes like $350,000 a year. She's in the Bay Area, and she's like, I just hate it. And I hate the people and this and that. And then she was challenged, like, hey, how many people are on your team? What was the data on this? And that, she was like, she doesn't know anything about it. And so I don't know how I went on this tangent, but people who are unhappy in their job, like, you really do have to still learn how to be great in that job and navigate that environment and those leaders and negotiate your salary, get to know people, put yourself out there. It's really your responsibility. So for anyone that's in a job that they absolutely hate, yes, you can transition out of that. But also you have to look at your daily behavior in that job. Like, if you're not going to be great now, you're never going to be great. So, like,
yeah,
isn't that a wild concept?
Be great before you leave.
Yeah.
We also have lots of free resources. You can go to execupgrades.com/resources. You can look at our publications. We have approaching 500-700 articles on everything you could possibly think about in your career. So check out our website. But today we are talking about leadership. And if Christy could help me out, if she could post, hey, tomorrow we are holding a workshop for probably about 3-4 hours on leadership, right? So many people struggle with this.
And a lot of people probably don't realize that we specialize in the leadership and development side on the B2B side, not just only with the clients. So if you're like, hey, I've been following you guys for a while. I already got the job. I'm not looking for a job, but I really do want to pick up some new leadership skills. Like, this is definitely the room to be in, a room to network, and get some great knowledge. on your leadership skills? Yeah, how do you grow as a leader?
There's like 100 people signed up. It's $49. We will post the link somewhere. Christy can help me out. Hey, I have a question real quick off topic though. Are we dark on your screen? Because on the computer I'm dark, but up there I'm it's bright.
Yeah, you guys got to tell us.
Help me out in the chat.
The screen I'm looking at, I look like a glowing Tahiti like princess, but on the computer screen,
I think
dark.
We're good if we're on that screen. And someone will let us know shortly. But hey, so what we're talking about today is leadership dilemmas that you are going to fall into. So let's get started for episode 128, Leadership Unplugged. And let me see. Yes, we are. What? Yes, you are darker than normal. I knew it.
Oh, interesting.
Hey, it's okay. We're going to do it a little dark today. We'll brighten it up for you next week.
We got Alex in here, brighten it up. It went up a little bit.
Yeah. So with that being said, with that being said, Christina, let's get into it. Episode 128, Leadership Unplugged, Candid Conversations. Yeah. Oh, man, no one wants to have those. If you are a leader, listen, the first person before we get started that you need to have a candid conversation with, right, in our leadership and development program, we talk about managing yourself first. You got to know how to manage yourself, how to have a candid conversation with yourself. So many people, right, trying to be a leader out there.
Okay, but hang on, Tim.
Go ahead.
What does it mean to you to manage yourself? Because people are thinking, what does that even mean?
Yeah, it means if you're late all the time, you can't expect your team to be on time all the time, right? If you're consistently pushing deadlines, whatever your deadlines are, right? How are you going to get upset at your team for that? If you're continually frustrated about your upper leadership and you're displaying that with your other people on your team, you the problem, not even your team. So really, hey, when we start getting into this, right, we talk about managing yourself, managing your team, creating leaders, right? This never ends. I saw John Maxwell recently at the 10X Growth Conference in Miami, had a great time, right? Got to see John Maxwell, and he said, his leadership and development person said, when he was learning leadership, right, hey, you got to commit, you know, an hour a day for 5 years, and then you will master leadership. Right. And the funny thing is, what he mastered after 5 years was, hey, there's so much I don't know. Mm-hmm. Right. So, hey, leadership is not something that you take a workshop on. It's not something that you go to an 8-week class on and then you are just.
Hey, Alex, whatever you did a moment ago to bump that, can you do it one more time?
Yeah. I lost my train of thought.
Sorry.
So let's go ahead and get into it. Let me know when you're ready.
I am ready.
So, hey, it's crazy. We dealt with this recently, but we're not going to discuss names. Hey, high performers. Uh-huh. Okay. I'm going to give you this one. You did not see this. We're good. We're good.
Yeah,
the lighting's totally fine.
Well,
it's totally fine.
I got my phone blowing up. It's dark, but it's better.
The high performer's headache. One. Let's say this happens. Okay. One of.
Thanks, Chelsea. Thanks, Christy.
One of your top performers hits and exceed all targets and their job performance, like what they need to do. But his behavior and attitude is toxic and it's affecting team's culture. How would Christina Madden address that? They do well at their job, but it seems like they're doing bad.
Well, first I would blame myself. That would be the first step. Like blame myself because
it's not your fault.
Well, hang on. A leader,
I'm joking.
Oh, okay. As a leader, I always make a joke about the Bugs Life movie. My son always watches with the Bugs and is like, the first rule of leadership is always your fault. So you do have to immediately assume that if somebody's performing really well, but they've become toxic in the culture and their behavior is not aligned with your core values and the mission and where you're going and the big vision, especially if you're in a CEO role who should be really responsible for the vision of the company, you really have to sit down and take a look at, like, are there any breakdowns in that? Where did it go wrong? How did it get off track? And how can I improve the situation? I would then bring the person in. There would be a realignment conversation around personal, professional, financial goals, mission, and core values, and go into maybe how some of the behavior is impacting the current team and culture. From there, there's going to be some basic disciplinary conversations. And if this person continues to negatively impact the culture and the people and the environment, they have to go. So I'm really glad to hear that this particular person would be meeting their targets. Great. They have stats to prove that they're great. They have a track record of success. Those are the people that we want, but I would never sacrifice culture for great performance. That never works in the long run. A lot of people might think, oh my God, well, I really need this person. And oh, their behavior's so bad, but like, I need this person. No, like you have to cut and release and then figure it out, because there are top performers that will align with your culture. If you have great culture, you know how to attract them, recruit them, and retain them. So ultimately, question your own leadership skills as far as culture. What's been implemented? Has it even been communicated clearly, right? Hard conversations, disciplinary action, and then a transition out if it really truly is a behavioral problem. You agree?
I do agree. I do agree. But before we get started, David said, okay,
David.
He said, that's weird because on my screen, Tim looks like a glowing Tahitian princess. Mm. So I just want to let you know.
I don't look like the princess.
I look great.
Come on, David.
Here's another thing that helps too. So hopefully, hey, and I've made a million mistakes throughout my career. So one of our jobs here, my main job at Executive Career Upgrades for helping people in their career is, hey, just skip all the mistakes I made, right? If you can just skip all the mistakes, you're going to get there a lot faster. The same with leadership. One of the things we started implementing and we still need to get better at.
Oh, it's always you have to get better.
Yeah. Across all of our companies is, you know, doing all the simple stuff matters. So I'm going to tell you something very simple. When you bring someone in, right, the where you need to start is mission, vision, and values too, which we're trying to get better at to instill that. Just like
you guys, everybody thinks that sounds so easy. Oh, man. And if you're wondering why I stole Tim's water, so we could have
or
that it doesn't matter. So
then there's
like,
part two.
It's like people don't, it's like right now you might be thinking, well, that's not that big.
That's
of a
stupid.
Deal. You know, it's like, that's so, we have bigger things to deal with. We have,
you got to hit the targets.
And that's true. But the second you really sit down and think about it, the mission statement, the core values, and where the company is going, you'll immediately see, oh man, almost everything that's broken is connected
because
to that.
Of that.
We have Natalie Dawson come into the podcast, president and co-founder of Cardone Ventures
June 6th.
Is a while
something
out.
Like
I didn't mean to tease you, but man, she has some great pointers about this. She's an absolute expert on it. She trained us on it. It's incredible. Like, you really got to take it seriously about the company culture.
Yeah. Then number two. So, hey, when you recruit people, right, one of the things that they actually helped us with, our mentors, right, is make this a big priority when you're recruiting. So a lot of people, right, will be in the leadership program, you know, and people will say, yeah, but I need to just manage change. I'm running into all these like problems because I'm not managing it effectively. And we already know it's likely if something is going on in your department right now, okay, it's likely not that thing that is the problem, right? Yeah, it's probably
you're focused on the wrong problem.
And you're so targeted on that, whether it be turnover, whether it be poor performance or whatever. So the biggest thing is what we just mentioned. And then number two, we do it in the military. They call it an initial counseling, right? We just have these built. We're working on implementing them and getting better, as we always should, right? But on that initial counseling, it should go like, hey, this is what we expect of you, right? Most people don't do that. They say, hey, Christina, you know, let me just overwhelm you with information during your onboarding to give you so much information that you couldn't possibly remember it. But I encourage you, hey, the military has some of the best HR practices in the world. So definitely start off with, hey.
Do they though?
They do. A lot of businesses is actually copying
them.
Well,
that's a whole nother thing.
We're talking about counseling sessions.
But technology and systems.
Yeah. So, hey, initial counseling.
Sorry,
this is what I expect of you. This is our attendance
Army
policy. This is our dress code policy. This is the policy for this, the policy for this. Just maybe just like 11 things of like, hey, here's what I expect of you. These are our core values. These are my expectations of it. Go ahead.
Well, how many people are you interviewing and bringing into the organization that you don't know anything about as far as their core values and their beliefs and their goals. Like if they're coming in and you cannot align with not everything about their whole personal life, I mean, that's great. At some point really high up, you probably maybe should have some personal things aligned, but can they use the organization as a vehicle to reach their personal, professional, and financial goals? And what are some ways that they live by the core values in the organization? So you can't expect that if you're not having that conversation on the way in, hello, like all that stuff's going to start rearing its ugly head later down the line. And you're going to ultimately think you're, you know, should be blaming the candidate or the employee when it's your fault. And I am guilty of this time and time again. Because it's like, okay, well, the next time you have a bleed and you're like, I just need to fill it. Just get it. And so you're like, oh, I'm willing to just forget that red flag and forget that red flag. And don't even at this point know if they can do the job, but it's good enough for the bare minimum. And then you get in and it's like, oh God.
And you got to train them.
How many times have you done this? Oh.
Too many.
I still do it. I probably did it.
So that's why we have a saying here, and then we'll definitely move on to the next topic, right? That's why whenever we are hiring people across our companies, one of the things I say is like, hey, would you want this person? I'm a military guy, right? Would you want this person going to battle with you, right? You go into battle every day in the marketplace, man. Do you want this person going to battle with you, right? And then I'll meet with some of our other leaders and they'll be like, well, you know, Tim, I met with her and she's got some good skills and I think she can do the job. I was like, bro, we go into battle.
Yeah.
She coming with. He was like, well, since you put it that way, no.
Yeah, or the next one after right. That was, hey, Tim, talk to this guy. He's absolutely not going into battle with us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Figure out people's goals before you hire them. So Matt said, hey, change fails because people don't understand the importance of the change as leaders. It's not only about being sold, but it's by the leadership. Exactly. But here's the thing. If people aren't even aligned and they don't even care what the mission is and they don't even care what you're going, it doesn't matter how awesome change is. Hey, this is going to be magnificent for you. This is going to make your job easier. You don't care because you ain't bought into the mission or where you're going anyway.
It's not just even that they don't care. They will actively, there's a study on this.
Oh, man,
you might be able to quote me on the study, but like they will be actively, intentionally and unintentionally sabotaging the company. What was that stat? It was like something like 70-something% of people in corporate America are currently actively sabotaging the organizations they are working with.
That's a very strong word. What we're saying is they're taking advantage of time, they're delaying projects, and do you know what I mean?
Sabotaging, excuse me, not like they're these vicious human beings, but how they operate is sabotaging the goals of the company. When people mentally check out, like, you know, many of our clients that are looking for new jobs and they're in current roles, like they're mentally checked out. How do you think that might be sabotaging the success of the company? Like it's just natural human behavior.
All right, let's get into number two. I have another question for you.
Okay.
Remote work, right? We are a remote company, right? Remote work, right? How do you keep home office heroes? I love that. How do you keep home office heroes engaged?
Are you ready for this? Because there are more.
How do you keep them engaged? Right?
Okay.
To make them not feel like they're on an island.
Couple of things.
Make sure they're bought into the mission. Go back to that.
Well, yeah,
make sure you know their goals.
No matter if they're in person or remote, you have to get to know the person's goals and go through the vision and get them excited about that and sold on where the company is going and excited and make sure it's a great fit. But beyond that, and we just made this change, I think, a little under 2 years ago. And this is going to sound super basic, but in remote culture, all of a sudden, I had somebody come to an interview the other day in the bed, guys. Like, I really think that people just aren't thinking, but we need to make sure we have a dress code.
Okay? Don't go to,
if you are,
don't go to an interview laying in bed.
By the way, I'm going to pause here and talk about this for a second, because I don't even think that these are bad people or bad candidates. They just have like, okay, I'm comfy. This is casual. Like, I don't know what they're thinking, but they're literally in bed with like a pillow, like, hey, you know, hey, in the bed. Okay, guys, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do it in your backyard. Don't do it in your kitchen.
Try not to do it in your car.
Get in a neutral looking office space. Okay. Or at least a blank wall and a nice outfit. But anyway, that's what I told everybody. So I took a hard look at what do their backgrounds look like Okay. I don't do blurry backgrounds. There were some studies put out around, you know, people automatically assume you have something to hide. Let's get rid of those. I hate those things. And everybody tries to tell me, no, what if you blur it out and put the company logo? Like, no. Okay. No. We're not hiding the dogs. Like, no. So we took a hard look at what's the office space going to look like. I can't demand like a ton. Like you don't have to be in some major executive office, but a nice neutral wall. Can we get a picture and a plant and call it a day? Okay. Because I want my clients comfortable with our employees. So office space is one. I made everybody get in jackets. Don't care. Like if you're client facing or during a meeting be in a jacket, take it off if you're doing your admin or whatever. That's cool. So that immediately boosted everything, by the way, guys, sales results, people's attitudes. Plus I only want to look at other professionals. So selfishly, I'm like, I'm dressed. Let's get you dressed because this is, you know, so it sounds small, but dress code, office. And then how do you keep them engaged? Our frequent one-on-one connections. Okay. You said you wanted to achieve these things personally, professionally, and financially. Where are you with that? How can I support you with that? All team meetings, we do those. It's only 15 minutes. We don't overdo meetings here, but they are effective and fun. So meetings,
it's the little stuff.
It's just these little things.
It's the little things.
Emails, you want to take your communication to the next level? Maybe take a minute and say thank you, make a joke, put a funny emoji, send a GIF. Those kind of things are like a lost art. We're big on gift giving in this organization. So like I just sent somebody a big baby shower gift. We do flowers. We do swag bags. We fly out somebody maybe who would want a challenge over to our HQ. So if you're super remote, maybe you want to fly somebody out for a couple of days and do a little
team trips.
You can still do that in a remote culture. Now, I don't know that these large organizations are doing all that. I would hope so. But yeah, you want to get dressed and show up. You guys cannot expect to be performing as leaders if you're in your, you could do your Lululemon leggings on the bottom, but let's get.
And really, what are some of these companies thinking? Because a lot of us, we filled calls with lots of other organizations that they might do business with us. We might do business with them. Some of these people showing up on these cameras selling some very expensive services. It's wild.
I have been absolutely mind blown. And like, mm-hmm. just when I saw it all, can I tell them the story from the other day? The
dumpster dive. No, don't do that.
Okay.
We can't. No.
We can't do it?
That's off.
Okay.
We'll tell that story for the clients only for whoever shows up to the leadership workshop tomorrow.
Google your people on social media. Like, look at the social media of your leaders.
That's okay. Dan said, hey, I found it's more common for I love this because he talks about going to battle. I found it's more common for corporate leaders to be people I would not want to go to battle with because most of them don't back their direct reports. Absolutely.
I agree.
Find find a new military to be with, Dan. Find a new group of leaders.
I need a bell in here.
Yep. Pam said, hey, besides being brought into the mission, you need to manage the remote like an office on video, professional, looking good, communication technology, just like Christina said.
Let's go. Also, you can invest in continuous training for people. So if you have a budget for that, get them in a training as a group. You know, you want them training every day. You might have said that. That's one way to keep them engaged.
We got more stuff to go over. Okay, so go ahead. Don't give away all your great tips. Okay. Hey, David said, Simon Sinek has an excellent talk on performance and toxicity. He shows a matrix of performance. Yep. I would go with. Yep. He says the high performer, low trust is the person that often gets promoted. He said that people are really easy to identify. Yep. And say, yes. So, hey, David, there's one where he talks about Navy SEALs too, of who are the most trusted people. And actually, what's actually very interesting is the people that are the best Navy SEALs are not the people that are in the most physical shape and not even the people that are most trustworthy. It's kind of very
That makes sense.
That interesting dynamic. I mean,
that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
You're saying that like the best Navy SEALs are not only the ones that are
they're not always the best that are like the super fit.
They are better, the best communicators, is what you're saying.
That is absolutely one of it. Yeah. All right, here we go. Okay.
David Goggins is like no, that's not right.
Got it. Let's see. Okay. Yeah, I got one for you.
All right.
Ethics.
Let's go.
Ethics while driving performance, okay? There's often conflict between managing ethical standards at the company, like doing the right things, and then meaning performance targets, you have to do that as well, especially in competitive and highly pressure environments, right? So the dilemma is conflict. How do you maintain high standards? Let's go to another one.
Let's go to another one. Don't do that to the people.
I can't really think of what the question was here. Hold on. There's often a perceived conflict between maintaining ethical standards and meeting performance targets, especially in highly competitive and high pressure environments.
Yeah.
That is the dilemma. There's not really.
Sure.
It's kind of more of a.
What I'm hearing is that on your way up, when you're scaling a team and you're pushing for high targets, oftentimes the first thing to come into question are standards and ethics. We've seen
it
time and time again, because you're just pushing and you're pushing and you're pushing for a goal. And what I think of standards are the things that you expect from your team members. Sometimes those standards lower
as you're scaling.
Hey, we're experiencing that right now. Okay.
Yeah.
Some of the things that come into question are standards, but not so much like, are the standards still important? It's, are you willing to hold people to standard? Because that is time consuming. Okay.
And to do that, you need to be able to hold your own self to standards as well.
Integrity, that is a non-negotiable. So if you're questioning going around like,
we have no problem with people that violate integrity for immediate releasal.
So as far as like true.
Yeah, but can I tell you what happened, Christina?
What?
Why I violated this integrity?
Oh, like maybe altering a contract or something
that? Yeah, no. We don't even want to know why.
No, we don't even want to know why. Because I can.
Zero tolerance.
I'm practicing a new thing, guys. It's this.
Yeah, I love this.
I'm going to trust you. I have trust issues, by the way. I don't trust anybody. Working on that in therapy. But I am going to trust you until I can't. And during that moment when the I can't happens, there is no more. There is no more. So I don't believe that when it comes to an integrity breakdown, that that's any more a question. That person has to go. And you also need to be able to sleep good at night. So if you're somebody who struggles with integrity and just, you know, transparency, that's a whole other conversation. Standards are hard to keep. Okay. So like what I was talking about, the offices, the jackets, the one-on-ones, the goal setting, it's hard to keep up on it. We only have a team of
we're approaching 50.
50. Okay.
40
so,
something.
So that was even hard with 10. So 50. Now you're talking about hundreds. Like that's why.
And
Gary,
here's the thing. If
Gary Vee,
if we can't get it right with 50, how are you going to get it right with 200?
Gary Vanderchuk, if you don't know who he is, like mega ultra successful, probably a couple $100 million marketing company or more. Anyways, I don't know if this is still true, but at one point last year, his highest ranking role in the company was chief heart officer. And that person was responsible specifically for core values, mission, vision, standards, and goal setting. And then that person created the systems for the leaders to constantly be doing the one-on-ones with the team. So if that tells you anything, what I'm saying is that's the top ranking, you know,
it's the most important
top paid position in the company, chief heart officer. That's what it was for. That's what it's for.
Hey, team appears disengaged and lacks motivation. It's typically due to many reasons.
Lacks motivation?
Yep. The team appears disengaged and lacks motivation. Okay.
Okay. I'm ready.
They give a couple. I'm going to list a couple things of what they think it could be. See what maybe they missed. So one of them is poor management practices, lack of meaningful work, not enough feedback, or a disconnect with organizational goals.
Well, okay, ready?
Gallup is wrong. Go ahead. Tell us the truth.
Because motivation is not a real thing. I wish that we could literally, like if I could choose one word to get rid of out of the English language, it'd be motivation. It's not a real thing. It's so fleeting. Like if you have a day where you feel motivated and it's so awesome, but like you can't count on it, you can't lean on motivation. What you can lean on is mission and commitment. So if there's a breakdown in what you think is to be motivation, no, there's a breakdown in the mission and the commitment to the mission. So being willing to still show up, do the job, do the things, the habits that it requires to stay in alignment with the mission. It's mission over everything. So again, this goes back to mission and core values and leadership. There's no motivation. You can't count on that.
Well, I want to say, are you ready?
Okay, go ahead.
The definition. motivation. The general desire.
Desire, guys. No.
Desire. The general desire or willingness of someone to do something. That does not mean desire. You feel good.
No.
That's what people think motivation is like, I need to feel good, so I need to do it. When really, no. Hey, I like the word desire.
You do?
Yeah. Of like, hey, like,
it doesn't last long. Like, it's kind of like, if leaders could take one thing from this podcast, it would be don't rely on your feelings or desire to do something. If you've decided to do it, you just do it regardless of your feelings. Like, why do you like the word?
But there has to be, because there has to be a reason on why you're doing something.
That's the mission, right? Like, that's the mission. You've decided.
You have a desire to achieve a mission. That's what I'm reading. Okay. You have a desire to achieve something.
But what happens tomorrow when the desire is not there, but you still have the commitment? You know what I mean? Yep.
Yep. So, yep. Yeah.
When we get into words like motivation, desire, passion, what's another one that's always being used? Like, I just need to find something I'm passionate about. Like, I can't get, it doesn't serve me for very long. That's all. Those words.
If you're working somewhere or building a company, you're going to have bad days. A lot of them. Hopefully you can turn away, right? Or hopefully you can turn around those bad days into good days. Because just like my man GC says, right? Uncle G, turn enough bad days into good days, you end up with a great life.
Say it again.
Turn enough bad days into good days and you'll end up with a great life. So many people are having bad days and they're letting those bad days compound. They're moving into negative cycles. And then they portray all of these things subconsciously or consciously to their team. And they wonder why they're working in such a toxic work environment.
Well, what I've realized is that, like, for people who don't know exactly what they want to do, but they know they want to earn a high salary and impact a lot of people, like, you can go into an organization that you're not extremely passionate about, but you can get behind the mission and relentlessly commit to it and grow that way and then create different paths in your life. Like, you start then optimize. So, like, I don't think you necessarily have to be passionate about cybersecurity to want to go into tech and do an amazing job and make a high salary, because maybe you just are really behind the CEO's vision for something.
That's why your mission has to be so important. Because when I was in the military, this was forced upon me. I would have a good duty station. I would have a fun time there. My leadership was great. And then guess what? Any ideas on what happened at my next duty station, Christina?
No, I don't know.
Oh.
What?
So what happened at the next duty station is you have a leader who drives you nuts, okay, that you don't get along with. But I'm in the military. I'm serving a higher purpose. So I'm easy to say, just like you said, of like, this is just a means, right? I'm only going to be here 2 years. So, hey, what can I pick up? Try to see the positive in everything, right? What can I pick up from this guy or gal so that I exactly know what kind of leader I don't want to be as I continue to develop?
But think about this. So when you talk to anybody from the military, they're so passionate about service. They are bought into the mission. They're indoctrinated fully into the belief of, I'm forgetting the slogan.
There's been many. Be all you can be.
So, like, yeah, like, yeah. You believe that you can use the U.S. Army as a vehicle to be the best you can be.
Yeah.
You know, and they're indoctrinated to believe that. So that's the kind of culture that you want to believe, want to be a part of. And I've seen other cultures, not many. I don't see many out there like that in corporate America. I could name maybe a few, but, like, you know, when you go into that environment, they're training your mind to be so bought into it that before you know it, you're marching in your, you know, mm-hmm. and you'll live and die. Who's going to live and die by that mission? These soldiers, right?
Yeah. They have a really good onboarding program. You should,
it's called getting recruited by this guy.
Mimic that. So, hey, we just wanted to come to you for a little bit today to talk about some different dilemmas that you're going to run into as a leader. But I'm glad Christina was able to shed some light on, no matter what your problems are.
Oh, can I ask you one?
You sure can, but wait one moment. No matter what your problems are, whether it's managing change, whether it's hiring people, whether it's, you know, implementing something, enforcing standards. Hey, our best advice is, number one, you have to have your own life in order, right? I know a lot of people are out there saying, I wish I could just hire a person who's this type of person. You need to ask yourself, are you that type of person? Because this type of person who's great will not work for someone like you if you don't display all those characteristics as well, right? I want someone that follows up with me. I want someone that's a good planner. I want someone that's organized. I want someone that's this and this and this and this, and that's what I want.
That sounds like my new personal assistant role that's open, which, by the way, if you're a high-level experienced personal assistant, this is not a remote executive assistant, but if you...
Come to beautiful Punta Gorda.
Yeah. I'm offering relocation for the right candidate. You can email me, Christina@execupgrades.com, Christina with a K. Hey, that's going to be an amazing position in an amazing community, and you get to hang out with me all day. Tim goes the other day, because of like what I'm looking for, he's like, I wish you the best of luck, because he thinks that's going to be our hardest recruit so far. But okay, can I give you one more?
Sure, go ahead.
And I'm serious, guys. Send me an email if you've done it before.
You know this is global now. You said we relocate. You know we're going to be getting emails now from Dubai.
Ooh,
and Croatia.
I live in Dubai. Maybe you take
and
me there.
Australia.
Maybe you just move me there.
India. Spain.
Bondi Beach. Okay, so yeah, and if you're from Italy, you probably know how to shop. Chanel. Okay. Dilemma. And the reason I didn't want to skip this is because it's from our boy, John Maxwell.
Yeah.
Okay, so according to John Maxwell, and for those of you who don't know who he is,
love
by the
him,
way, 21,
man. He's just amazing.
21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. Best thing ever. Go get the book. 90% of leaders focus on acquiring followers rather than cultivating. Are you listening?
Mm-hmm, okay. Mm-hmm.
This is the dilemma. Leaders focusing on acquiring followers rather than cultivating new leaders. Often leaders do not prioritize or understand how to effectively develop other leaders within the organization. So, okay. So the discussion. Okay. So 90% of leaders fail to do this, according to John Maxwell.
Yeah, so I can talk about this. I can talk about this.
Okay.
Let's just talk about the simplest way of developing other leaders, because whenever you say this, a lot of people get confused, right? And the easiest advice I have is just time. You just have to spend time with people that you want to develop. Right? You know, you have to make the time. You always going to be busy. Here's the funny part. Everyone wants to get promoted. Okay. Everybody wants to get promoted, and make more money. Right. The problem is this, they aren't aware what comes, you know, what comes more problems. They're more complex. You haven't solved them before and you have less time. Hey, you have to make time to develop individuals underneath you. Right.
But with bigger problems comes what? More
money. But hey, hopefully. Regardless of the money, man, you get to make a bigger purpose. Money's going to come and go.
Money and success can be measured by the amount of people helped. Like, yes. I always go back to that. So like when I think about my financial goals, it's like, how many people do I need to help to get there? Like always let that be at the forefront. But anyways,
time, right? So you need to set aside time once a week. So identify people on your team and say, hey, right now, if you had to pick, hey, who would those three people be? Right? Because you need to spend time. So let me give you one easy thing. Hey, each week we're going to spend 15 minutes at this time. Hey, Christina, why do you think I made that decision about that? What are your thoughts on this? Right? So don't think you need to develop some huge personal development plan for these people just to get started, because the biggest thing people struggle with is time. Okay. Is just making the time to actually connect with somebody, which you're way better at talking about this than me.
You want me to take him through a little?
Yeah.
Little
just
something?
Time, connect. That's a good starting point. Remember, book coming out later this year. I will write this book this year, right? Start, then optimize, man. So many people worried. We talk about this so much. Yeah, but I need to make sure it's the perfect development plan. And I need to make sure I carefully select these people. And I need to make sure, and I need to make sure, and I need to make sure. And I never do a dang thing, man. Mm-hmm. So, hey, you got 5 seconds. Who are the three people on your team you want to develop? Boom, done. Okay, how can I give them 15 minutes every week or every other week? And then I'll figure the rest out as we go. What you got? How do they connect? What's a good way?
I was just going to share some very fundamental ideas around time.
Fundamentals are the best because that's where most people struggle.
Well, if you guys want to know, I'm like way out there in my thoughts about time. Like, I literally think it's all made up. Like, breakfast, it doesn't have to be at 8 a.m. Like, lunch is not always at noon. Like, so if you can just sort of like think about your mindset about time in general, it's not as restricted as you think. You can get a lot more done in the amount of time that you have than you think. So get creative when it comes to your time, and don't take my word for all of this. Go do some Googling around the concept of time. But I'll take you guys through a little exercise. If you're in a place where you can jot this down, jot down what your earned income was in 2023, earned income, 2023. Once you got that number, then I want you to divide it by 2080. So 2080. So bust out your fancy calculators. If you're driving, do this later. Earned income divided by 2080. If you don't know what 2080 is, that's the amount of hours in a work week. Like
over, on average
over a year. I mean, yeah, that's if you're only working 40. Okay. Most of you are working more, so you could take this down even more. But now you know how much you're making per hour.
How valuable your time is.
Now I want you to take what your ideal income would be and do the same equation. Now, for most people, there's a drastic difference. I won't even share with you mine. It's obscene because what I want to make is like ridiculous unreasonable. I want to invest in different stocks and real estate and apartment buildings. So you can imagine, like, we're talking about the difference. I'll share my difference. It was $46,000 an hour difference I'd have to be making. Insane. But I'm a big dreamer. Okay. So when you take a look at that difference, it should be drastic. Like, on average, I believe that the last folks I took through that exercise, it was somewhere between 250 and 550 of a difference. So the first thing you need to take a look at is, where do you need to get more control over your time? So delegation. And for me, you're talking to somebody who wrote a whole book about delegation and getting your time back and delegating systems and processes at your house. If you are listening to this podcast, I assume you are on an upward growth path in your career and that you do have some planned financial resources to put systems and processes in your house. So I say that because if you've got piles of laundry sitting around and you can bring somebody in for $20 an hour to do your laundry or clean your house or help you manage all of that, you should be doing it to get your time back. You might have to sacrifice all of those phone calls from your friends that are so distracting coming in all day and maybe come up with more of a structured time of when you can take phone calls like that. It might be the doom scrolling on Facebook. It might be useless meetings, whatever. But like, where can you tighten up your time at home and at work? Some things are probably starting to come to mind, like, holy crap, I got to get some things off my plate. And so that's the first thing I like to think about with time. It's the old saying, time is money, period. Pretty simple, right? Math. The second thing is then taking a look at your calendar, getting real, like, live and die by your calendar and planning. If you need a planner, hour by hour, really cool planner. It's kind of big. So if you like a big one, the Success Unveiled Day Planner for the Fearless Executive, available on Amazon. I love it because you can, like I said, plan it hour by hour and it's not date specific. So you don't waste pages if you skip one. Get tight on your calendar.
Because here's why. Okay. All of these are great topics. Thank you for sharing that. Because if you want to develop other leaders so you can make success easy for yourself and your organization, you can't do that if you don't got no time and you're not managing your own time effectively.
And that gap between whatever that hourly rate is, for many, it's you need to begin having relationships within the organization, learn how to bring more value, and learn how to negotiate to get to that higher hourly, if you will. So if you feel like you're somebody who's stuck in pigeonholed, you belong at the leadership workshop tomorrow. And also our next career necessities workshop, because we're going in our first 100 days program that shows you exactly what you need to do to not stay at these lower hourly rates. You need to be able to navigate the company and bring more value, know how to ask the right questions, know how to who is that makes it?
Because you need to be thinking about when, and then we need to wrap up too. Okay. Christina, but hey, when you start this new role, I'm glad she brought up this Mastering First 100 Day program. We got a workshop coming up maybe within the next 2 months, but it's like, hey, when you start a new role, you should immediately be thinking about what's my next target, right? One of the biggest things I learned, and we'll end on this, was last year was a simple concept. When you're about to reach your target, whatever it is, immediately set a new target. That's what we will leave you with today. So, hey, thank you for tuning in to episode 128 of the Executive Career Upgrades Podcast. Thanks for tuning in. As always,
in the workshop tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. If you need help in your career, go on over to execupgrades.com/podcast. Until next week, have a great week.
Bye, guys.